This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, we're recording remote because, as you can probably hear, I'm a sick boy.
Yeah, you keep getting sick. What's going on?
I don't know. I got sick.
Licking subway banisters or something?
No. I don't go on the subway. It's far too dangerous.
I got sick twice in the last three months.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you know something's safe, when you got guys with like M16s walking around. It's like, yes.
You've gotten sick twice in the last 3 months, but you've also gotten sick twice in the last month.
Maybe. I don't know. I have a toddler. He goes to daycare. He brings home.
Yeah,
all
but
sorts
I
of
do.
Things.
I do my podcast with him every week, and he's always fine.
He's a pro. He really is.
Yes, he can. Sometimes I don't even realize he's sick until afterwards. That's how good he is at keeping it all together.
Well, you know, you always hope that your kids will be better than you, right? Is that a saying?
I think it's that you hope your kids will like have a better life than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by not getting sick all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like me.
Yeah. And being a better podcaster in general.
Tom, how are you this week? So I'm sick, and I'm very bravely and heroically recording this podcast,
Powering through. The
fact that I really would rather be sleeping.
Yeah.
But I don't want to tell the listener that.
Right. Yeah. That would make them feel guilty.
Yeah. Nobody listens to this to feel guilty. Oh, Tim would like to be sleeping, and, you know, he really deserves it. He's working real hard lately, and now he's sick, and he's doing this. But I guess I'll just have to enjoy it and sign up for the Patreon.
I guess it should make me think about what I am doing for Tim, considering what he
Ask
all
not
of what,
what
he's
Tim
doing.
Is doing for you.
Now.
That's what you can be doing for me.
Right.
Do you know these people? Like, look, I don't want to.
Who? The Kennedys?
No, I mean, that's a whole other can of worms. Look, even the good Kennedys are like bad, right?
Yeah, I don't know if there's like any good. I mean, they've done good legislative things.
Even the revered Kennedys are still like.
Oh, even the revered Kennedys
have
still
rich.
Killed somebody.
Yeah. All right, cool. No, I was talking about people that just like are like. Here's my Venmo. Venmo me money on like Twitter and stuff. But usually it's like a good cause. Usually it's somebody who needs it.
Right. I don't know what you're talking about. Tim, I think are you following a lot of like OnlyFans models on Twitter? Is that what's going on?
No. It's just like I see them like retweeted by people, like mostly the comedy people where it's like, "Well, rent's due, so can somebody send me some money?" And it's just like I don't know why somebody like retweeted this into my feed. Like I've never heard of I don't know who this person is.
Right.
Like you, comedian, should click on that Venmo.
Right. You seemingly know who this person is. You should help them out.
Yeah. Yeah. But I usually click and give them $100, $150 bucks. Yeah.
Right. Just to help out. Yeah. I mean, people must do it if there's enough, if people are out there soliciting still, or maybe not. I guess, like, what's the harm in asking, hey, send me some money?
Yeah. Look, it's fine.
Maybe that's why I think I did that once on this show. and asked people for like a dollar or something. I forget what the bit was. I forget.
Oh, it was a bit.
Yeah, it was something like that, because then it did get annoying because people were sending me money and I was like, nah, it was a joke. And I had to like keep declining their requests. And maybe that's what got my account in trouble.
Oh, wasn't it that people started requesting money from you?
Yeah, maybe something like, maybe I said like, oh yeah, I just automatically, if somebody requests money, I'm like, ah, it sounds good, and I pay them. I didn't mean like strangers. I meant if, you know, somebody I knew that I owed money asked me for the money.
Has anybody ever requested money from you on Venmo?
Yeah.
Who?
All these strangers to begin with.
No. Like people, like, has that feature ever been useful? Like,
yeah, if you're like splitting a bill or something and you tell the person like, hey, yeah, just like send me a Venmo request for what I owe you.
Why don't you just be proactive and send the right amount? Why are you putting it on them? They laid out the money and then they have to chase you down for it.
Because it's not chasing down, and like I've been at like dinners where people desperately want the credit card points and are like, I'll do it, and then you're like, okay, well, what do I owe you? And they're like, well, I'll figure it out later. And then they figure it out later and send you a request.
Nobody does that. They're chasing you down.
People do this, Tim. Why do you think
I like people... getting the points? And let me tell you this, Tom. I'm really pissed off because like I've built up a lot of points on a rewards card that like I don't want these rewards anymore. I wish I had been on a different rewards card.
Wow, damn. Wow. God, I feel so bad for you. First, you're sick, and now you have all these rewards on a card that's different than the card you wanted your rewards on.
Yeah, exactly. It's these hotels that I can't book. I can't book any of the good stuff.
You're not allowed in them anymore.
Yeah, you get put on one list one time. It applies to all. I thought it was just that specific hotel that I can't go back in.
Right, and you even told them, you know, well, try and ban me from all the Marriotts in the world.
Yeah, I was really cavalier about it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you forgot.
It's very easy for them.
They got a database. They just have to click a button in there, and old Timmy's points are worthless.
How are you doing this week?
I'm doing good, Tim. I've a potential guy I think I might, I'm thinking about becoming.
Oh, great.
Let me pitch this to you. What do you think about this, Tim?
I mean, I do think your whole personality could use a revamp, so.
Exactly. Just a nice spring refresh. The old personality is getting pretty stale. What do you think about this? I become a metal detector guy.
Okay. Just at the beach or just in general?
Yeah, like mostly at the beach. But maybe other places, maybe trails.
Now, you're positing this as if it's a joke, but like you've
not really. I mean, it is a joke. Like it would be a funny thing to become, but
have you already bought a metal detector?
No, but I've very briefly looked into, like, at least what they start at.
Right.
Price-wise.
What do they start at?
There are ones on Amazon that start at, like, $100 that look decent and have decent reviews. I have no idea if that's, you know, manufactured reviews or whatever, but...
What are you trying to find with it?
Treasure, Tim. God, what are you,
like,
stupid?
Do you think like a treasure chest?
Sure.
With gold doubloons in it? Do you think that's going to be at like Jones Beach?
No, just, you know, you find jewelry and stuff.
Okay, so like stuff that people lost?
Yeah, stuff people lost.
And you're going to try to return it to them?
I'll
find out who they belong to?
I'll give my best faith effort to return it to people.
So let's say you do that, wink, wink.
Yeah.
And you can't find its rightful owner because you're not gonna do that.
Well, how am I gonna?
Let's say you find a really elegant like bracelet. right? Expensive.
I like how you don't know how to describe jewelry, so you're like, what would expensive jewelry be? Oh, a really elegant bracelet.
Yeah, well, all right, you describe expensive jewelry.
A bracelet, a gold bracelet encrusted with diamonds.
Okay, cool. Let's say you find that. Mm-hmm. What would you, all right, let's say you wouldn't actually try to find the owner. Would you just like go to a pawn shop?
Yeah, become like a pawn shop guy too.
Okay.
Well,
okay,
oh, actually, cool. No, I think it would likely lead into me becoming a smelting guy. Like in pretty quick succession, I think.
Right.
Because I've also watched some smelting videos, and that looks pretty fun.
Yeah, so what would you just melt them down and like make a like golden glove or something that you can punch people with?
I didn't even think about that. I was thinking about just making them into bars. But yeah, if I made a golden glove.
And then you could like do some vigilante stuff.
Right.
And you'd be like, call me the golden glove.
Yeah. I mean, gold is notoriously one of the softest metals.
I mean, it's still metal, Tom.
That's true. But if I had enough gold to make a glove out of it, that glove would probably be worth like, I don't know, $10,000?
Yeah, okay.
That'd be a pretty cool glove.
I know. That's why everybody would fear you.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't look very good. I'd be new to smelting.
Covered in blood. Yeah. Support your...
It would mostly be a golden glove, but it would also have some Pepsi cans, too.
What would your fiance think about you becoming a metal detector guy?
She'd probably... You know what, Tim? Once I start bringing home those elegant necklaces, she'd love it.
All right.
She'd be like, oh my God, I've never had so many elegant necklaces in all my life.
Bracelets, Tom. They're elegant bracelets.
I'm so glad you became a metal detector guy.
Yeah. So it really is just like old guys looking for stuff that people lost that they could like flip.
Yeah, flip or collect, like, you know, I think some people, they just kind of hang on to certain things that, you know.
Yeah, well, that's and you psychotic are, you're behavior. Kind, you're, I think any kind of collecting is a mental illness.
You're also, you're doing a service, like you're cleaning the beach, you know. If I found, you know, a can or whatever, I'm not just going to bury the can again. I'll go recycle it.
No, you won't. What are you kidding me?
What, you think I'm going to be able to smelt this glove 100% out of gold? No, I'll need some cans to fill it out.
Tom, when you see trash on the beach, do you go, other people's trash, do you go pick it up and throw it out?
No, but if I was using a metal detector and I dug up trash, I would feel too guilty to then.
Okay,
I'm holding the trash, then it's like, nope, I took on the responsibility of this trash.
That's fair.
I mean, doing that may then cause me to never go metal detecting again, but at least that one time I would definitely throw the trash out that I found.
You going to wear a bucket hat?
I think you have to, right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much that might come with the metal detector. Should inquire.
I just remember, like, don't you remember as a kid seeing metal detector guys at the beach and thinking like, guy's weird, but that's cool too.
No, I didn't think. Well, you know, my understanding was like, I guess there is like pirate's treasure buried here. Like he's trying to like find this one thing that must happen sometimes on Robert Moses Field 5, where like
occasionally somebody finds a treasure chest.
Yeah, it didn't occur to me at a young age that it was just like, you just find stuff that, you know, people unfortunately lost at the beach.
Yeah. One man's trash.
Wants to create a collection of stuff that people are set. Like, it's no different than when, like, people go to, like sociopath... Mm-hmm. High school kids go to high school kids party and like steal a family photo.
Yeah, I mean, we know people who have done things like that.
Yeah, it's not stealing.
I wouldn't be stealing. If I found like personalized jewelry, Tim, I would try and find the owner. I would try and return it.
I don't think you would, Tom.
I would. I would feel I have too much guilt. I would feel too guilty
like with,
about it.
With an address on it, like if it said like 2JB from RL Stein, would you be like, let me see if I can, you know, figure out on Facebook?
Well, I mean, if it was a ring or something that had been given to Goosebumps author R.L. Stein, I don't, you know what? If it had sentimental value, though, maybe I'd get a pretty good reward.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So this whole thing is an R.L. Stein shakedown scheme.
I mean, hopefully not. Hopefully it won't come to that, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah, you got to pay for that metal detector somehow.
All right, Tim. Well, last week was a fiasco, but one of the many things that came out of that was last week's episode was that we did not get to cover everything we wanted about Wendy's.
Right. So last week we did an episode about Wendy's. You and I talked for over an hour about Wendy's. Mm-hmm. I'll be charitable here. Something got messed up with the recording, so I had to come back talk for another hour about Wendy's. So now we're going to talk about Wendy's for a third hour in 2 weeks. Like, we're talking about Wendy's more often than I'm getting sick, Tom.
Wow. When you put it that way, it really does kind of blow my mind.
Yeah.
Tim, there's a few things we did not talk about.
If this is the first episode you're listening to, go back to last week. Listen to the Wendy's episode. This is Wendy's part two.
Yeah, because otherwise
you need
you'll
that
be
base of knowledge.
You'll be so completely lost. There'll be no hope for you.
It's a fast food restaurant. That's all I'm giving you. That's all I'm giving you from the basics.
Yeah,
fast food restaurant.
Now, we did not talk at all last week about the founder of Wendy's, Dave Thomas.
Right. A guy.
A
man who was in their commercials.
A man who started Wendy's and then was in their commercials. And also a man who is a disciple of Colonel Harlan Sanders.
Yeah. A protege, even.
Yeah. So what was it? Dave Thomas owned KFC franchises?
Yeah, I believe so. Which is also like, I guess it's competition. But, or when did Wendy start? Like, we just read Harlan Sanders, Colonel Sanders' autobiography. He doesn't mention Dave Thomas once in that whole book.
No. Well, I mean, he might not have, you know, really known what was to come from Dave Thomas. Wendy's was founded in 1969.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, Wendy's had been around for like close to 10 years when Colonel Sanders, I refer to him as Harlan, wrote that book.
Yeah. Well, I always feel like Wendy's should like it. Wendy's almost opened in the freaking 70s.
Right.
But doesn't it feel like it should have been like the early 60s or maybe even the 50s?
I think that's the vibe they're trying to go for. Or at least they were trying to go for in the 80s when we were coming of Wendy's age.
Yeah.
And the
November 90s. 15th, 1969. So that's like, you know, just a month before.
Yeah, almost the 70s.
A month and a half before the 70s. But like, I always thought Dave Thomas was one of these guys that was like Colonel Sanders, where it's like, oh, he founded Wendy's when he was like, you know, 75 years old. And like, nope, not the case. He wasn't even that old when he passed. He passed at 69.
Yeah, he was, well, and I remember when he died, it being like a pretty shocking thing, because he died, what, in the early 2000s? Like 2003,
yeah.
I want to say?
January 2002.
Oh, okay.
He was very distraught over 9/11.
Is that true? Is that what killed him? I hadn't heard that. That's pretty crazy. He went out thinking this country's going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the 9/11 museum?
No. Have you?
No.
And seems I was like it'd thinking be upsetting. About. I don't want to think about 9/11. Was bad.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I was like, and I don't think I know anyone that's ever been to the museum. And I was
sorry, I don't want to get my jollies at the 9/11 museum.
I feel like you don't always have to get your jollies when you go to the museum, Tim. I've told you that.
I go to the museum to laugh, and there's nothing to laugh about there.
Right? Yeah, you always go to museums to laugh, and that's
like Ripley's. Believe It or Not is my favorite museum.
It's your favorite museum. Like, one thing I know about museums is they're very expensive, very cramped. They don't really have.
My second favorite museum, Madame Tussauds.
Have you ever been to Ripley's Believe It or Not?
No, museum? I haven't. No, have you?
I
can't believe
one.
I would not believe that you haven't.
I'm trying to remember. I feel like I went there for like a work related reason or something weird. Field trip? Nah, it wouldn't have been a field trip. I was an adult.
No, there's no educational value there. Yeah.
Yeah, I know I didn't pay for my ticket to Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Right.
And
were you there on some sort of a rent boy situation where an older gentleman rented you for the day?
A wealthy older man had taken me there. He was like, you won't believe how tall this guy was. And how
you'd be like, yep.
That's the only thing I remember, that they had like a life-size mannequin, I guess, of the world's tallest man.
Yeah, of course that's not what you would remember, because like all you care, you're obsessed with people's heights. Are you thinking about, no. Tom, the Atlantic City boardwalk where they have that statue outside the Ripley's Museum? And
no,
I was
no,
there with you and didn't go inside.
No, this was inside, I remember. And I just remember like seeing the statue and being like, wow, that's crazy. But also like, I don't know, am I going to trust these guys? They can build a statue.
Yeah, that's the thing.
They can build a statue 20 feet tall and tell me, oh yeah, show me the guy. Have his bones here.
They say it, Tom, right there. You can believe it or not. Those are your choices.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I think that works against them if they are a reputable organization, right? Because then you're setting the wrong tone.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because then it's like, this may be a lie. It's up to you to decide.
Yeah. When they're trying to claim everything in that museum is real. Was it,
right.
Did Dean Cain host that TV show? The
Ripley's Believe It or Not
TV show? Yes, he did.
I don't remember the TV show. This is way more up your alley, kind of Believe It or Not.
From 2000 to 2003, so this was post Lois and Clark. Right. Wow, cool. And he was the sole credited producer on it too. Four seasons.
He's really passionate about what are like alien bodies? Like what else do they have there?
Well, I mean, I can tell you about the first episode of the TV show. It featured half woman, the suspension club, an etch-a-sketch artist, modern day cannibals, million volt minister, maggot medicine, Cody the talking dog, bendy man, and vampire killing kit. That's a stacked pilot episode if I've ever heard.
Yeah. You know, if I were a network executive, I'd take a look at that pilot and be like, this is all well and good, but how are you going to sustain this level of freaking chaos?
They did it for four seasons.
I know, but like, were any as good and jam-packed as that pilot?
First,
what I'm saying is like, maybe they front-loaded everything. Maybe they ran out of material quickly.
It honestly looks like the
you got Bendy Man and who was the talking dog in the same episode? Space that out.
Corey the talking dog.
Dog named Corey. He doesn't even need to talk. That's pretty amazing in and of itself.
I'm looking at, all right, so season 4, episode 5, Hermes Zempera, a human cannibal who originally overshot an inflatable device and injured himself, later performs a successful landing as part of an event, a live event hosted by Kelly Packard, Tia Resolari, a woman who specializes in taxidermy that includes dressing up deceased animals, which fill her house. So it sounds like they, you know, they figured it out. They figured out how to pad out a full episode.
Yeah, okay. With live cannonball shooting.
Yeah, a guy. I mean, and he had already overshot it once, so I'm sure they showed. I'm sure they showed that footage over and over again of him missing the target and getting hurt.
Right. Well. Ripley's Believe It or Not, you heard it here first. So Dave Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, wait, what Dave were you talking about?
with Ripley's Believe It or Not?
Yeah. I mean, you were asking me about if I've ever been to the 9/11 museum where you just was that just idle small talk?
Oh right. Yeah, I guess it was just idle small talk because you mentioned that Dave Thomas was a victim of 9/11, according
to
you.
Well, I assume he passed, you know, a few months after.
Yeah. But everybody
and he seems like a guy that would have been like really shaken by like what happened to our American values and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
And I mean, he was kind of like, you know, seemingly the only nice like fast food chain owner, right?
Okay, you got Ray Kroc.
Yeah. who's an asshole.
Yeah, you got Colonel Sanders, famous
who's a
asshole.
Liar.
Yeah. The Burger King, who is like a monarch, like he's yeah. You know, that's
Papa John.
Yeah, I guess the Chick-fil-A people are bad, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah, or they at least like give their money to anti-LGBTQ mm-hmm. causes. Although well, I read something about how like then like far right-wing people were boycotting Chick-fil-A because they had a VP of diversity. And, you know, there are people that hate that, even though apparently they've had like a VP of diversity for, I don't know, years. But, you know, nobody ever looked at their website, I guess, or the right people who would get real mad about that.
Yeah. You know, the culture war requires a lot of vigilance.
It does. It requires, yeah, constantly being vigilant about the products that you like to enjoy. And making sure they aren't trying to make you woke.
Yeah. Okay. So Dave Thomas opened its first Wendy's in Columbus, mm-hmm. Ohio, Tom.
Yeah.
Are you an Ohio guy?
I've never been to Ohio.
My grandparents lived there when I was younger. So I went there sometimes. And I enjoyed going to their house.
Oh, okay. Did they live near a Wendy's by any chance? Or
no, they had a player piano, though.
Oh, okay. Did it work?
Isn't that cool? Yeah, it worked.
Oh, wow. Because I feel like anytime I've seen a player piano, I've always been like, oh, my God. And then somebody's like, yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah, this was 1987. Player pianos still worked.
Yeah, there were still enough player piano maintenance men out there roaming the country to keep them in good working order.
Yeah. So he named his daughter, nope, he named his restaurant.
Yes.
Wendy's after his daughter. You know what, his 8-year-old daughter at the time, you know what her name is?
I know it was not actually Wendy.
Yes, Melinda Lou.
Yeah. And do you know why it's Wendy?
Because she couldn't say her name when she was young.
She couldn't say Linda, she would say Winda.
Yeah.
So that turned into Wendy, and then yeah, Winda became Wendy, and Wendy became the star of the show, the star of the restaurant.
And Dave Thomas lived to regret naming it after his daughter.
Yeah, I read about that. I read that according to her, because I think she has a book.
Probably. I would cash in on that if I were her.
He wanted a character because he worked for the Colonel at Kentucky Fried Chicken and knew how much that persona mattered. He said, "Wendy, pull your hair up in pigtails." So I did. He got his camera and took pictures of me and my sister and said, "Yep, it's going to be Wendy's old fashioned hamburgers." And that was it. But then, yeah, apparently later he regretted,
he said it put too much pressure on her. Yeah. But I think the old Dave, who was in every one of his commercials up until every single Wendy's commercial up until he died, except for one pivotal one.
I think he regretted
not naming it old Dave Thomas's hamburgers.
Yeah, yeah, because it was
like, oh, Wendy's this little girl with pigtails who didn't lift a goddamn finger.
Right.
Let alone grill a hamburger or mix up a pot of chili.
Yeah.
She gets all the credit.
I remember as a kid always thinking it was weird that this restaurant's name is Wendy's, but all the commercials are Wendy's dad. And he talks about her. He references her in a lot of the commercials. But they don't show her, which, like, even when I was younger, I realized, like, oh, that's because she's not, like, a cute little girl anymore, so we can't, like, trot her out and be like, look, it's like a living cartoon character.
They could have just cast a cute little girl.
Yeah. I mean, they probably did for some commercials.
Yeah, I mean, after Dave Thomas died, they cast a sexy lady as Wendy.
Well, we'll get to that, but yeah, I lost my train of thought after you.
All right,
said
well, how
that.
About that for a teaser then after the break?
They
sexy
what?
Wendy,
huh?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom?
Yes.
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep.
Oh.
Boop.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
But
I had to do the going up. To show you the going
you gotta down. Go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest I don't do much socially.
Yeah, and you enjoy social things, but
I do.
But
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, and spread ourselves thin. Or just not know, kind of like, you know, where the optimal socialization is for
you.
You
want to be a shut-in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah, what's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know, maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/complete guide.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Now, Tim, before the break, you mentioned something about a sexy Wendy.
Yeah, they got a sexy Wendy in the commercials.
I don't think I remember these commercials with a sexy Wendy. So he always did the commercials, Dave Thomas, and he had a real nice way about him, right? You would say,
right. Yeah.
And he was like, "Hi, I'm Dave." Like, it seemed very down to earth.
He was affable. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, and he kind of had like a. Almost like a Bob Newhart-esque delivery.
I guess. Oh, like that he was just like very deadpan.
Yeah.
And like
yeah,
things like would happen around him.
Yeah, things kind of crazy things would be happening in some commercials, and he would just kind of look at the camera like, well, what can you do?
Right.
Okay. So I always like that about him. But yeah, so then when he died, you know, what were they going to do? And they said, well, now he's dead. We can sexualize his daughter. I can't find anything about these sexy Wendy commercials, right. Tim.
Calm down,
did you dream about it?
What are you talking about?
The sexy Wendy's commercial.
No, okay. Oh. Ready? Here's the thing. They introduced a new Wendy, the most recent Wendy.
I'm seeing just a lot of like fan art, Tim, that I think is going to put me on a list.
They didn't officially... Oh, God damn.
They didn't officially? So what'd they do?
Okay. They, in 2020,
uh-huh.
They cast... okay, ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay. In 2022. Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Ahem. We'll start retaking. Hello and welcome to the complete guide to everything.
Oh, no, Tim, I'm not going to ever do this whole episode again.
This lady, Morgan Smith.
Okay. The one who made the Super Size Me.
No, that's Morgan Spurlock. Did the Morgan Spurlock stuff, was that in the first version or the second version?
You know what, Tim? I don't know. I don't know if people have already heard us talk about Morgan Spurlock or not.
Well, they don't need to. And if it is, like, we're on the hook for libel and slander for that. So,
wow, Tim, did you know that... this actress, Morgan Smith, naturally a dark blonde, her hair was dyed orangey red for the commercial role, but then she relocated to Los Angeles, California after being cast as a series regular Shelby Fox opposite Craig T. Nelson in NBC's reboot of Coach.
What? There was a reboot of Coach?
It did not
and
get
picked up. And the Wendy's girl was in it?
Oh, yep, and it did not get picked up, so... Who knows if we'll ever see it.
So she, beginning in April 2012, Coney 2012, Tom,
You're always going on and on about that.
We got to do something about it, Tom.
I know, Tim. Tim, you know I support your activism.
She was cast as Wendy.
Yes. You know what? I'm seeing the picture now, and I do recognize her.
Okay. So I think you owe me an apology, first of all. First and foremost,
I mean, the thing is, she wasn't sexy Wendy, but she was.
Right. They knew what they were doing. She was 27 years old. It wasn't like a little, you know, freckled face little eight-year-old.
Yeah, they cast an attractive 27-year-old actress to be Wendy. And yeah, I mean, they didn't overtly, I'm looking at the pictures, like they did not overtly sexualize her or anything like that.
I mean, but they did. You should have seen the way that she was eating the Baconators in the commercials.
Oh, yeah, I am seeing one picture where she's, like, shoving a burrito in her mouth, and it does look kind of suggestive.
So, Tom, look, I'm not saying that, like, it was untoward or anything. I'm just saying that, like, they revamped Wendy into a woman in her mid-20s who was very attractive.
Yes.
And that's I guess it was a misleading tease before the break.
Yeah.
And now there's a whole different Wendy's lady.
What do you mean? There is?
Yeah.
Who?
Catherine Feeney. She started in 2020. But she's not, I don't think she's playing Wendy. Because she has brown hair.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
Just a lady.
Just a spokesperson?
Yeah.
Catherine Feeney Wendy's. That's what I'll search.
Yeah.
Who is Catherine? Oh yeah. I haven't seen this woman, but
Tom, it's because neither of us have seen an ad for anything in 8 years.
I mean, I see ads. I don't see ads for, like, you know, things like Wendy's, things that would appeal to me.
You see ads for, like, singles in your area looking to hook
up. Yeah, a lot of things like that. Yeah. Lonely housewives are dying to meet you.
Yeah, things relevant to your interests.
Now, does this Catherine, she play an employee at Wendy's? Because that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah, I think they saw what that AT&T lady was doing for AT&T, and they were like, we need to get one of those in Wendy's.
Yeah. They've all got, like, State Farm's got that guy. Who's that guy?
Yeah.
Jeff or something? Mm. Clyde.
It's Clyde.
I don't know. I just know that sometimes, like, Jake from State Farm.
Right.
I just know that sometimes, like, I'll hear about things like this, and I'll feel so out of the loop that there's a guy everybody knows the name of in commercials, and I don't.
You want to know why? It's because you don't watch football. That's the only reason anybody knows any of these people anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I don't watch like really many live. I watch soccer sometimes, but that doesn't have commercials for the most part.
Yeah.
All right, I got to start watching football, I guess, to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, so just so you know who the latest spokespeople are for the large telecommunications and insurance companies.
You ever watch, like, I know you don't watch this, but have you ever caught, like, a few minutes of golf on TV?
And it's like, very in, like, all the ads are like, you're very clearly like the C-suite
decision
member,
maker.
Or like, yeah, and it's all like,
have you considered our, like, customer relation software and our server solutions?
It's like that, or like specifically for, like, here's how, you know, hedge fund managers keep their, like, it's all like, it's a very small, audience that they're going for, but they're all watching the Masters on CBS.
Yeah, we gotta figure out a way to tap into that audience.
The thought leaders. I think most of them listen to this show.
The thought leaders, you know, the decision makers high up at companies making billion-dollar decisions about their server needs. Yeah.
I watch golf commercials. I was like, I don't understand what this company does, what this product is.
Yeah.
I don't even think they talked about a product. They're just using a bunch of buzzwords. This must be worth their while to produce this commercial and put it on TV.
Like, a lot of it seems like the kinds of businesses where it's like there are two companies that do this. They both do it on like pretty much the same. And if the CEO sees our commercial, that might be the name he mentions to, you know, the CTO of like, hey, you should see about this AWS. We should maybe move to that.
Yeah. Well,
it seems like it's worked out well for Tiger Woods.
Hey, what hasn't worked out? Hey, you think Tiger
His
Woods
marriage.
Was excited about those new sexy Wendy's commercials?
I don't think that Wendy's nearly sexy enough for Tiger Woods.
I mean, did you see some of the ladies that Tiger Woods
weren't they all just like blondes?
Okay, so like she wasn't their type, his type?
Who?
No, they were like hostesses at like Applebee's and stuff, Tom.
No, I think they were hostesses at like nice clubs.
No, not always, Tom.
Oh,
and
really?
There were a million of them.
Wow.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That there were like so many.
Yeah, because it was like an addiction. It wasn't like, oh, like I like.
It's he's
like,
got somebody on the side. It's like no, every night he's having sex with 10 other people.
Yeah. So but I think the Wendy's girl probably caught his eye at one point.
Maybe. All right.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, he's watching South Park.
he's watching South Park?
Yeah. I bet he likes South Park, right? Oh, no. I bet they skewered him good.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, Trey and Matt probably. Ooh.
Really gave it to him.
Yeah.
Tim, did you know that Wendy's introduced the first modern drive-thru to the world?
I did not know that, Tom.
Dave Thomas coined the term pickup window before this.
Okay.
well, get this though, Tim. So before this, there was just the one window.
Right. You went up to it, you ordered, and then they prepared it.
And then
it,
he just waited.
Else. Yeah.
And he realized like that slows things down.
Take a lot of orders.
Yeah.
Somewhere else.
And it said, this innovation was so revolutionary that customers needed instructions on how to talk through the speaker to place an order. So I guess that was also like that it wasn't just you go up to the window and order, but also the speaker and then going. Now I'm confused because
this is for the drive-thru, right?
Yeah. But they still have two windows usually, and I thought his innovation was just the first window you pay, the second window you pick up. But it sounds like he came up with like, oh, there should also be like a speaker there, and you just order before you even get to a window.
Yeah, I would like to see the timeline of this. I imagine it was a two window situation first, and then it was a speaker and one window situation, and then after his death, I do not remember seeing two active windows before 2002.
Really?
Where you would pay at one and pick up your food at the next time. I think you're out of your gourd if you think that innovation was not a 21st century innovation.
I don't know. You know, I can't remember things that
I can't remember things too good.
Well, I certainly can't remember like exactly what picking up a drive-thru order in the 90s was like. He also, you laughed at him coining the term pickup window. Originally, it was called the drive-in window, but Dave wanted to change the name from something that could attract cruisers and joyriders.
Okay, but like you pick up your food there.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is like I scoffed at like is that even like that is just a straight up description of what it is.
A pickup window, window
where you pick up your food.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess people call it a drive-in window, which I get.
But
yeah, pickup window is a better name.
Yeah. Hey, good job, Dave. I don't want to take anything away from Dave Thomas.
Another thing I didn't know about Wendy's, and when we were talking last week about like their quote unquote AI innovations and whatnot, is out of the currently over 7,000 Wendy's restaurants around the world, or mm-hmm. that might even be just America. No, that's around the world. 6,751 are franchised and only 415 are company owned.
Right.
I feel like that's a pretty small, I don't know what the other fast food chains numbers are like.
Yeah.
But.
That always, like, I don't know, that stuff, like, I think that's roughly like the norm
in line.
I don't know. Yeah. Hey, I don't know. To me, the difference is negligible.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm kind of, well, I was at a Burger King somewhat recently and, I was at a Burger King at a rest stop and it was easily like the worst Burger King I've ever been to. Because yeah. when I ordered,
because it was at a rest stop.
Yeah. When I ordered, I think it was like they were out of all drink cups, maybe, or maybe they only had small drink cups. They didn't have medium or large drink cups. And there was something else they were out of. I want to say it was like French fries. But then there were signs up from the like franchisee that were like signed by the company that owns the franchisee with, I forget what, further information about things. And I was like, this is, if I worked for the Burger King Corporation and I were here on a corporate visit, oh boy, would these guys be in trouble?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they bother going to rest stops. I was at an airport recently, though, and the line for the Wendy's at the airport terminal was so long, Tom.
Really?
Everybody wanted.
Now, was there competition or, you know? Oh, okay.
I mean, so there are like three other places in the terminal.
Right? Yeah. So it wasn't just that people were necessarily gaga for Wendy's. It was just that.
I mean, it was the most crowded place in the terminal, though.
Well, what were the other options?
They weren't other like fast food chains.
Right. They were probably like local things that people might not have been familiar with.
Probably. Yeah, or not chains at all.
Just airport restaurants.
There was like,
which is really like I've rolled the dice with that a few times, and like you really, for the most part, just want to stick to the fast food. Like you don't want to go to like the airport like chicken sandwich place that you've never heard of before to give them a whirl.
I disagree.
Well, then we'll agree to disagree.
I don't think anybody should be eating like anything significantly like greasy before getting on a flight for hours
Whatever you eat at the airport doesn't count because you're traveling. It's fine. Your body burns it off. Your body doesn't even care about it.
Tom, mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question? Something
yes.
blew my mind in my research for this episode.
Okay.
Did you know that mm-hmm. we talked about Wendy's chili last week.
Yes, yeah.
Did you know that as of June of 2023, mm-hmm. they sell cans of Wendy's chili at the supermarket?
What? No. Does it have old Wendy's hamburgers in it?
That would be presumably.
It's like every day the guys at the factory drive around to the Wendy's and get their old hamburgers, put them in this chili. I didn't know that. I'll keep an eye out for that. I'm a sucker for any promotional item at a supermarket, but I'm a big time sucker for a brand I know that normally does not make supermarket things.
Yeah. And I imagine it in no way resembles Like, all those things are not like, oh, we went into a test kitchen with our finest food scientists and figured it was like, we got like this chili that like some of it goes in these cans that go to Costco. Mm-hmm. And like, then we just have like this other like no name brand that goes to like, I don't know, like,
A&P or whatever. Can we strike a licensing deal?
So according to the takeout.com, Tom, interestingly enough, Wendy's canned chili, which costs $4.99 for a 15-ounce can, which I think that's pretty
pricey.
Steep. Yeah. Is much more packed full of the substantial stuff than the restaurant version.
Each
spoonful is overflowing with beans, visible chunks of green pepper, and an amount of ground beef that feels proportional to the rest of the ingredients. It's less watery than the restaurant portion, and it's much more like a stew than a soup.
Wow.
So it sounds like it doesn't resemble Wendy's chili at all.
Wendy's chili is, I mean, I can't remember the last time I've had it, but I don't think it's soup-like.
I've never had it.
It probably depends on, you know, if people bought too many hamburgers that day, then they're like, well, we still got to make a big pot of chili and just going to be mostly water.
Yeah, that's my news for the week, Tom.
Wow. Well, thank you for that news update. I'll have to keep an eye out in the chili aisle of my local supermarket.
Tom, so according to the takeout.com, I think there's one question that people who buy this can of chili will not be asking.
What's that? Oh, where's the beef?
That's correct.
Yeah, Tim. I mean, we talked about it extensively in take one of the episode last week, but we did not get around to it that much in take two, talking about the where's the beef lady. What's her name? Peller?
Yeah, some old fucking lady who did not like the size of her hamburger in an ad.
So they had this whole ad campaign in the 80s, and this shit was huge. Like, I remember this vaguely as a kid. I think I was like too young to even really know what it was about, but I just remember hearing people say, where's the beef? Seeing people wearing shirts that said, where's the beef? People being real into it.
Yeah, this was in 1984. So,
Okay. Yeah. So I would have been 3 years old. Yeah. My earliest memories are of the Where's the Beef lady on television.
So the first commercial, the original one, featured three elderly ladies.
Yeah.
At another fast food restaurant, home of the Big Bun.
Yeah.
And they look at the big hamburger bun, and two ladies poke at it. One lady says, it certainly is a big bun. It is a very big bun. It's a big fluffy bun. It's a very big fluffy. And then.
Did you write in for the transcript?
I did.
Okay.
And then they take the thing off and.
The bun?
Yeah. And then the old lady, Miss Peller, she just goes, where's the beef? Clara Peller,
yeah. She went, where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
And people loved it. People went nuts.
Yeah. And I think they cut those other two elderly ladies out, or they died or something.
Well, they probably made some more commercials with just the lady Clara saying Peller. The catchphrase. Yeah.
Tom, did you know that that's not what she was originally supposed to say?
What was she originally supposed to say?
She was supposed
to say, where the fuck is the beef?
Yeah, they were going to bleep it. No, she was going to say, where is all the beef?
Okay. Where is all the beef?
She had emphysema and she couldn't say all those words, which to me, it's just like, look, I don't know how they used to cast commercials, but now I know, like, it's like they see like thousands and thousands of people, right? For like even the small, not even for a Jake from State Farm, but for like the guy who has one line or one word in one of the Jake from State Farm commercials, right?
Yeah.
Don't you want to make sure that they can say more than three words if you're going to have them star in the commercial?
Yeah, I mean, you would think the part of the audition process would be saying the line, "Where is all the beef?"
Right.
But I don't know, maybe her reputation preceded her. She didn't have to audition for this.
They looked at her and they were like, "You certainly look like an old lady. You're hired."
Yeah. And I get, where is all the beef?
Right.
That's harder than just, where's the beef? And I mean, it worked. She was onto something. But I do know she was dropped from the campaign just 2 years later, or 1 year later, in 1985. But although I feel like that, I don't know how many commercials she was in.
Right.
But I do feel like that was the era where if a company had like a hit spokesperson or a hit catchphrase, they immediately went like Wheel of Fortune style, shot 10 more commercials in a day.
Right.
To try and, you know, get everything they could out of it. But she was dropped in 1985 because she was in a Prego spaghetti sauce commercial. Ugh. Where she said,
Prego
I found
is the
it.
Most depressing brand of all time, by the way.
I found it. I really found it. A phrase alluding to the beef in the listener's mind, because the Prego sauce has beef inside of it in the jar.
I think that's BS. I think if they didn't want her to do that, they should have had a stronger contract with her.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like hire her on, you know, get a retainer on her or whatever. Yeah. Or yeah, have a contract that says, hey, you can't do other, you know, food commercials or whatever. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure the truth is she got paid barely anything for that original Where's the Beef commercial. She did not enjoy in the success of them making t-shirts and hats and everything. And you could argue that she wrote that line too.
Right. Abridged it because she could.
She did, but she like, did a rewrite. Also, she did a pass on it.
She what did she say in the
I found it. I really found it.
That's so many more words than where is all the beef? What did she get cured of her emphysema before that commercial?
Maybe. I mean, maybe she used that Wendy's money to cure her emphysema. I mean, I could see her delivering it as, I found it. I really found it.
Tom?
Mm-hmm.
In the 1984 Democratic primary, Walter Mondale and Senator Gary Hart were debating. Gary Hart said, you know, like he kept talking about his new ideas, using the phrase new ideas. Mm-hmm. And Mondale leaned forward and said, when I hear your new ideas, I'm reminded of that ad, Where's the Beef?
Yeah.
And he skyrocketed in the polls.
And won the presidency.
Yep.
It became our, 40th president?
Yeah. Didn't lose to Reagan in every single state.
It's crazy, too. The only thing I know about Walter Mondale is that he put a helmet on and got in a tank, and they said that lost him the election.
No, that was Dukakis. Silly.
Oh, that was Dukakis. What was Mondale? What lost it for Mondale?
I don't know.
Same, where's the beef?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I do, the little I know
about, because it was morning in America, Tom.
Right. The little I know about that, too, it was that Gary Hart was very popular, but then there was some kind of cheating scandal and he dropped out.
Yeah. There was a lady on his lap at one point.
Whoa. I didn't know it was that serious.
Cheating. No, a lady sat on his lap.
Wow. Hey, a man willing
to do
that.
That saw the sexy Wendy in 2012 and was like,
a man willing to do that has no place in the White House.
What was her name?
Who? Wendy?
The lady that sat in Gary Hart's lap.
I don't know. Was it somebody famous?
No, like she was famous because of it.
Okay.
What?
You're asking me all these questions, Matt. No, she's not famous, you idiot, but she's famous because of it.
Yeah.
No, apparently not, because we neither of us know her name.
Donna Rice.
Donna Reed?
Donna Rice.
And, well, and you never who was
saw,
she?
You never saw a late 80s SNL rerun on Comedy Central in 1996 where there were like five sketches about Donna Rice and Gary Hart?
No. I know there was a Hugh Jackman movie about Gary Hart like a few years ago that I don't think did very well.
Well, he didn't have claws, so you didn't watch it.
No. I don't think I've ever seen a Hugh Jackman movie where he has a head claws.
You didn't watch The Greatest Showman?
No. Oh, I did watch that Darren Aronofsky one.
What was that?
I forget what that was. Yeah, The Fountain, which I liked. People didn't like it. I liked it.
Yeah.
I never saw it. Would be cooler if he had claws in it, but still, it was all right.
Let me ask you a question, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there was enough for us to do a Wendy's part two?
Well, we're at the end of the episode, so apparently there
I
was.
Know. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, making it a two-parter was the result of the first recording, us not getting everything in. But on the second take, we got in more stuff, but we were already committed to the two-parter. There is one more. I'm going to do the plugs, and then there is one more thing I want to talk about. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com. You can find all our social media there, our subreddit, our Discord. You can check out our, you can follow me and Tim on social media. I'm at Tom Reynolds.
I'm at your pal, Tim.
And you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/complete guide. This week, we are doing, we're finishing up Way of the Wolf by the Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort. Good scam artist, bad author.
Yeah, I have a hot take about this book, Tom, that I will reveal.
Wow. Look at that. That's a tease.
Yeah.
I bet that Tim's hot take is going to be something like he didn't like this book.
I wouldn't be so sure, Tom.
All right. Well, it might be that it's Tim's favorite book. You can also listen to last week's episode where we did a deep dive into our, or was it 2 weeks ago now?
No, it's last, or yeah, it was last week. Our personal failures,
episode of Books the Podcast.
Yeah, no, because it was recorded right after you realized you beefed that. First Wendy's recording.
Yeah,
yeah,
I beefed it, and you said, "Where's the beef?"
Yeah, we all knew where the beef was.
It was right. It was in the room.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/complete guide. You can find out more about our Patreon and all that entails. Tim, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about what I think is my favorite item on the Wendy's menu. Frosty.
Okay. Well, last week you said it was the junior bacon cheeseburger, but
well, that's also do like that too.
What's the Frosty? Ice cream?
It's like melted. The original one was basically melted chocolate and vanilla ice cream mixed up.
Okay.
But now they have just vanilla. Now I think they've had just vanilla for like 20 years. That's the one I prefer. But I had a peppermint one over, I think a year and a half ago, they had them for the holidays.
Yeah.
And it was a pink one. And it was very good.
I like
good.
Peppermint. Yeah, I like peppermint.
Peppermint's
stuff,
great.
During the holidays. Only during the holidays.
But I took my it was like around New Year's, and I took my niece there. She wanted ice cream, but I had seen the sign for the peppermint patty, not McFlurry, Frosty at Wendy's. So I was like, we'll go to this place. And she was so like, yeah, but I really just want ice cream. And I was like, this is just as good as ice cream. In fact, it's even better. And she did like it, but I think she still was kind of like,
yeah.
I really wish we had just gone and got ice cream.
Yeah, when a little kid wants something, you can't just be like, hey, I know what's better, and then like
they don't want something better.
No, yeah, they want the thing they want. They only know of like five things on Earth.
Yeah. I had to answer so many questions where I was like, look, it's fine. It's basically just ice cream, all right? Like, also, it's the beginning of January. Why do you want ice cream? We've been outside playing all day.
Do you dip your fries in the Frosty?
I'm not above it, but I don't do it.
Okay.
I like the idea, but
it's salty and sweet together, Tom.
Yeah, but you know, understand. I can just eat one and then eat the other and have them both in my mouth without contaminating.
Oh, contaminating.
Yeah. I'm not a big, like, I need my food to be separate, but I think for some reason that's a bridge too far.
Okay. I feel like the fries LL Cool J in the movie Toys. You're a military man and you need a military meal.
Exactly, Tim. So glad you brought up LL Cool J in the Robin Williams vehicle Toys.
Yeah.
His famous line, almost as ubiquitous as "Where's the beef?" I'm a military man. I like a military meal.
Yep. All right. I think it's a good place to put a pin in this. Till next week.
Hey, till next time, friendlies. Until I eat you again, which Wendy's. Is hopefully soon. What'd you say?
You said friendlies, and I said Wendy's.
No, I said Wendy's.
You said friendlies.
I mean, I'd like to go to friendlies, too, if it's on the table. Yeah,
they shut them mostly down.
Yeah. Bring them back.
All right, bring them back.
We'll see you next week.
Have you been to one recently? They're not good. All right, I'll see you later.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.